Hey, Money Buddies, Skylar here, and I'm interrupting your regularly scheduled weekly programming with a few bonus episodes this week because I'm launching a brand new podcast called Financial Planning for Young Adults, and the first 5 episodes are available right now. I'm going to be releasing them on this feed as well to give you a taste of my brand new show. If you've been following Money Talk, you know that I'm all about making personal finance simple, actionable, and honestly way less intimidating than the industry makes it out to be. And this new show takes that approach and dials it up specifically for young adults in their 20s or early 30s who feel like they should have this whole money thing figured out by now and want to get it under control. Here's what we're launching my brand new show with. Episode 1, Crafting Your Financial Why. Before you can build any sort of financial plan, you need to know why money matters to you. Episode 2 is I Made My Wife Cry About Money. Yes, that's not clickbait. It's a real story about how my perfectly optimized spreadsheet brought my wife to tears, and you're going to enjoy the story behind that one. Episode 3 is how to build a financial plan in your 20s, and this is where I break down the actual framework. What do you need to focus on right now versus what can wait? And I cut through all the noise and complexity to give you a clear roadmap. Episode 4 is estate planning is simple and easy. And I know that estate planning sounds like something that's for rich old people, but here's the thing. You need to make sure that you have some basic estate planning in place, even if you're only 18 years old. And I'm going to show you how to get 80% of it done, and maybe even all of it done for absolutely free. You're going to love that episode. And then episode 5 of my launch day extravaganza is enjoy spending money with buckets and sinking funds. And this one is about how to actually enjoy spending money without guilt. I'm going to share how my wife and I use sinking funds for our trip to Hawaii. And I'm going to show you an easy way to use buckets to reconsider budgeting. And all 5 of these episodes are live and available right now in whatever podcast app you're using. So just search Financial Planning for Young Adults or check the link in the very top of the show notes. And these aren't your parents' boring financial lectures. Every episode is story-driven and practical, and I'm designing these all to help you take action every single week, not someday when you have enough money or when you get around to it. So please, search Financial Planning for Young Adults, subscribe, and binge those first 5 episodes, and please let me know what you think. Drop a comment on YouTube or Spotify or send me an email at fpyapod@gmail.com. And if you would also please leave a 5-star review, I would greatly appreciate it. I'm building this show for each and every one of you, Money Buddies, so your feedback matters. So let's get into this special bonus episode from Financial Planning for Young Adults. Money Talk will be back on Thursday with yet another great Money Talk. So enjoy, Money Buddies. Sinking funds allowed me and my wife to spend money however we wanted on our trip to Hawaii, and that's something that each and every one of you can enjoy as well. Be sure to subscribe to Financial Planning for Young Adults because this is the last of 5 episodes that we're having here on our launch day extravaganza. There's going to be a brand new episode each and every week, so make sure you stay tuned because they're going to be great. I have a bunch of great topics already lined up, including one next week, where we're going to talk about how you could potentially get free healthcare. And who doesn't like that idea? I mentioned how my wife and I, we went to Hawaii, and going to Hawaii may not be each and every one of your goals, but spending money without guilt, that sounds like something we could all get on board with. Whether it's expensive or not, we don't want to feel shame and remorse when it comes to spending money. And do you feel like the age-old adage of spend less than you make just doesn't cut it anymore and it's frankly impossible and that your parents' advice is just outdated? Well, from my CFP education, one of the main things that I landed on is that understanding and managing your cash flow is absolutely essential. And you can call it cash flow, you can call it budget, you can call it a spending plan, whatever you want to call it. Keeping your spending in check and making sure that it's okay and that yes, you may need to make sure you're spending less than you make, even though it's kind of an old thing that's just thrown around, it can be extremely helpful. Whether you're using buckets or pockets or sinking funds or whatever sort of system or tool that you want to use, having a system in place and having guardrails in place to help keep your spending in check is going to be one of the most essential things that you can do for your personal finances. And in today's episode, we're going to kick it off by diving into a story about how my wife and I used sinking funds in order to pay for and give us permission to spend however we wanted to while we were on the islands of Hawaii. It was a phenomenal trip, and I know you're going to enjoy this story today. In the research segment, I'm going to break down what sinking funds are, what they're not, how you use them and how you don't use them, the pros and cons, and all sorts of great things around sinking funds. And we're also going to cover the bucketing cash flow strategy and how you can budget with a little bit more ease by just using three simple buckets. It's going to be a great idea, so you'll want to make sure to stick around for that one. But then we'll wrap up today's episode with a case study about Michelle Westerly and how she used sinking funds to figure out her budget and how it completely changed her relationship and previously anxiety-ridden relationship with spending. Now she can go out with friends, and she even had a surprise potential vacation come up with her friends that we're going to talk about right at the end and how she completely afforded it with no stress. How does that sound to you? Do you want to be able to have a surprise trip come up and pay for it and say yes without feeling any sort of anxiety or spending? If I mention the idea of a spontaneous vacation, what do you feel in your heart? Do you feel anxiety? Do you feel stress in your brain and worry? You start thinking about all this stuff. Well, we're going to make that go away with today's episode, and we're going to start it right off with a story about my wife and I's trip to Hawaii and how sinking funds honestly revolutionized our marriage. So a few years back, my wife was starting in PA school, and she had mentioned how she wanted to go to Hawaii, how it was a dream vacation for her. She would love to be able to go there one day. She was starting to, of course, get served Instagram reels and whatnot about Hawaii and all the great things there are to do on the island of Hawaii. And I mentioned, hey, we can go when you graduate PA school. We can do it as a celebration to celebrate you graduating PA school. Well, of course, you know that she snatched up that offer right away. And if I wasn't planning on actually sticking to it, that was going to be a major problem because she snatched it up instantly and there was no going back from that point. She was committed to the idea that she was going to PA school in order to celebrate and go to Hawaii at the end. And spoiler alert, we did it. We did end up going to Hawaii, but there was a bit of a process and a journey to that point because this was going to be the biggest financial savings goal that we had ever had as a couple. So now we sat down and we started to figure out, how are we going to get to Hawaii? How are we going to afford getting to Hawaii? I was the only person working at this time because she was going to PA school. But of course, we did our normal research like you do with a vacation, where you look up some blog posts, look at some cost estimates, look at some example trips, and you kind of get a sense or idea of how much it's going to cost. We figured and landed on $10,000. We figured that would probably be more than enough, but it would also be enough for us to truly enjoy this trip and really make the most out of it. But next came us trying to figure out, how are we actually going to save for this money? Like I said, I'm the only one working. How in the world are we going to save up $10,000 when it feels like we have so many other things pulling on our budgets? And I'm sure many of you feel this way. So we had a few years to save for this. And honestly, it may have only been a few years, but this was extremely beneficial because I'm going to share some math later in the research segment about how you can do all these calculations. But the few years gave us a lot of budgets to save for this. And that made it so that while we were only living on my income, which I know so many people out there feel like you can't even barely live life without having two incomes, let alone one. While only having one income, this long time horizon that we were able to plan for this vacation made it so that we could actually afford it in the long run. We simply took our estimated costs and divided it by how many budgets or months we had until we needed the money. And that's how we figured out exactly how much money per month that we needed to set aside into this vacation budget of ours. Because when you plan ahead, that number gets so much smaller and so much easier to hit. And now sinking funds, this is where the big change happens, and this is where our financial marriage was revolutionized by these cool little gadgets. Sinking funds were the biggest part that helped us finance our savings for this trip. So we set up this sinking fund where our money could go and we could put our money aside, and that gave us a purpose and a reason to save extra, which is a huge benefit. How many of you run into a tax refund or a bonus from work and it's just poof, gone? It's gone faster than you got it because you don't have any purpose to save this money. So tax refunds, straight to vacation. Bonuses from work, right to vacation. And sure, I may sound like the guy from Parks and Rec that's sending everyone straight to jail, but all of our money was going straight to vacation and straight to our vacation sinking fund where we were saving for this trip to Hawaii. Now, over a couple years, you're probably thinking, well, how did you even go on any other trips? Did you do anything else from this time, or were you just living under a rock for 3 years while you saved for Hawaii? No, because of this sinking fund that we were building that would continually grow, it would grow a little bit faster than we needed to. We went on a ton of camping trips, just simple, cheap camping road trips nearby, which helped save money because we were going on simple trips, but we knew we were saving for this big target. So really, setting up this sinking fund helped us in multiple ways. It helped us save money. It helped us know where to put our extra bonuses we came into. It helped us maybe take it a scale back when it came to other vacations because we had this big one we were saving for. But when we set our mind to this trip, it unlocked everything else for us because it became this focal point that we were working hard towards. And then of course, once you actually get the money, which is the hardest part in building the habit, then you can put it somewhere simple like a CD, because at the time during COVID, those were earning a really high rate for us. Or you could put the money in a high yield savings account, a money market fund. That is all little nitpicky things that you can worry about once you actually get the habit established. But for right now, if you're trying to figure out how to save for something, your first research topic should not be highest yield savings account. It should be a sinking fund and building the habit. But the overall result for my wife and I is that we got to spend money with ease and without guilt. We got to spend it without guilt in Hawaii. And guess what? We spent less than how much money we saved, which allowed us to roll it into our next vacation and go to New York and take little trips to Tampa with my work. We only ended up spending about $7,000. And it was the easiest, most guilt-free, fun, enjoyable spending we've ever had. Both of us, hands down, would say that was our favorite vacation we've ever gone on. It was because there was some planning and some habit building around our finances that really went into making it special. And now imagine this. You're on a trip. You see a fun thing you want to go do. You do it. You see a fun treat you want to get. You get it. You see a food place that you want to go out to eat. You go and you get it. It was so much fun. And you can even have this much fun when you use sinking funds and build this habit that's going to completely change your personal finances. And we even got to stay in some nicer locations. We moved around between Airbnbs because, frankly, money wasn't an object for us because we had built a habit and saved up a substantial amount that we were able to spend in Hawaii. Now, could we have spent less and made it a budget trip? Sure, but that wasn't the goal of this trip. The goal of this trip was to celebrate my wife and celebrate her passing PA school and kind of celebrate 5 years of us being married a little bit early. It was a super exciting and amazing trip, and all because of sinking funds and some good habit building, allowing us to put savings away and ended up saving more than we needed. But ultimately, I hope the takeaway from that story for you is that sinking funds can completely revolutionize and rebuild your habits around savings. But now I want to move into the research segment of the show. I did a lot of great research that I am excited to share with each of you about sinking funds, how to use them, how not to use them, and a new trick called bucket-based budgeting or bucket cash flows. This is one that's super exciting. You're not going to want to miss it. So let's get into today's research. What is a sinking fund and how do you create one? Of course, the link to all of these articles will be in the show notes, so go ahead and check them out if you're interested in any follow-up or further reading. But let's get into this one. It's from Ramsey Solutions. Their first quote to kick us off here is that a sinking fund, it's a strategic way to save money by setting aside a little bit each month. It's honestly, in my opinion, a roadmap to get you where you want to go with your money. It's great for vehicle repairs, Christmas, gifts, vacations, house repairs, recreational activities, vacations especially. That was the whole story that you just heard from me about my wife and I's trip to Hawaii. It's not just a savings account. A savings account is where you put the money. A sinking fund or a bucket or whatever you want to call them is the method of the madness. It's how you're actually saving the money. It's how you're keeping track of all of it. It's how you're keeping that sinking fund separate with either virtual buckets, a spreadsheet, a pen and paper, however you want to track it. It's also not your emergency fund. It is not in any way meant to be something that's tapped for emergencies. Don't just start using your emergency fund as a sinking fund and thinking you're all good and saving for things, because that's not the purpose of an emergency fund. I just wanted to make sure to put that out there and hit that home. An emergency fund and a sinking fund, completely separate things. But according to Ramsey Solutions, here's some benefits from using a sinking fund. You can save for anything. You can plan for a big fun event. You can ditch that large purchase guilt that so many of us feel. And you can prepare for the inevitable. It might not be as inevitable as Thanos, but it's things that are going to come up, like a trip. Or maybe it's an annual friends trip that you do every single year that you need to put just $100, $150 aside, but it's something you always forget about and something that always sneaks up on you. And now I'm going to share my screen here to show you Crew. Crew is a banking app that offers built-in budgeting with pockets that you can use to set up these sinking funds really easily. Crew makes it really easy to set up these pockets, and let me walk you through here how you can use these. You can sign up for Crew with my code in the show notes. It'll boost your interest rate by 0.5% for 3 months, and of course, using my code supports this page. The code is FPYA. So go to trycrew.com, use my code, or click the link in the show notes. All right, now that we have it pulled up, let's go over the Crew app here with you for just a moment. I want to show you how you can set up pockets really quick and easy. So right here on the home screen is an easy and simple approach. You can see they have a fun money, bills, and savings pocket. Well, if you scroll down here, this is what's really cool. You can set up autopilot in order to distribute your paycheck as soon as it comes into your account. It'll go ahead and split it up between all these different pockets that you have set up or sinking funds that you've been working on throughout this episode. It's really simple and easy. Your paycheck arrives, you send a certain percentage to charity, and you send a certain amount to your car sinking fund, and then it sends you a notification. It's really simple and easy to set up, and they even have example templates in here. But this is a way that you can quickly and easily set up, and consider using my link in the show notes, but you could set up your pockets and sinking funds really quickly and get going with your very next paycheck. So this isn't something that's too difficult to set up, and I highly encourage each of you to consider how this could revolutionize your savings. The next article we're going to talk about is from PocketSmith. It's just called Sinking Funds, and they wanted to let us know that sinking funds have been a historical tool. Sinking funds were traditionally used by governments managing national debt. They're not some fancy new invention. They've been used by businesses and governments forever. So take these tools and use them in your personal finances. And think of it a bit like reverse debt. Instead of taking out debt and paying it back until the balance is zero, you're working up a positive balance in your favor by setting money aside until it needs to be spent. So that way you're ready when the expense comes due. And this is a fantastic way to look at it. Consider it a loan payment to yourself, and then you don't even have to take out a loan when the time comes. It's perfect for your next vehicle purchase. This is something that I've heard a lot of people do. You set up some sort of savings account where you're putting that $300, $400 a month auto payment to yourself. And then when you need to go buy a vehicle, forget the loan, forget the interest, and you just use the money that you have saved for a vehicle purchase. It's super easy and simple. And they also shared a great 7-step process that I want to share with you about how to set up these sinking funds. So step one is to take a large expense that you know is coming up, and two, establish what it's going to cost. Three, assign a date that you want to have your sinking fund fully funded. Four, calculate how many paydays or budgets until you hit that point. Divide your total by the amount of paychecks or budgets. And that's going to lead you into step six, which is set aside that allocation per paycheck or per budget. And then seven, spend the money and do it again. Find another goal that you can save for and repeat all of these steps. The real big pro behind sinking funds is that you're going to have a massive amount of peace of mind. You're going to reduce reliance on credit, you're going to build momentum, and it's going to teach you mindful spending where you're prepared and you're okay with spending money. Now, there are a couple of cons that you need to be aware of for sinking funds. They may become inaccurate if your initial estimate is off. Say you set a sinking fund goal in 2019 for something that was going to be in 2023, you would have had no idea about the inflation that was going to come in between those two dates. So they could potentially be inaccurate if you're really trying to save for a far-off goal. But if you're trying to save for something in the next year or two, you're probably going to land it pretty well. The other thing that could be kind of worrisome with sinking funds is they can tend to overcrowd your budget if you try to make a sinking fund for everything. And me and my wife, all of our budget categories are sinking funds. And yes, this can be a little overwhelming. I don't recommend it. Set up just a few rollover or sinking funds or buckets or however you want to call it. Set just a few up that you know you can make sure to stick to. Because if you use a whole lot of them, then you start to get money scattered, you don't really know where it is, your budget's spread pretty thin with $20 and $40 and $50 savings amounts, and it can get a little bit hectic. But that's not to say sinking funds are bad. They're amazing. And honestly, it works for us that we have every single category as a sinking fund, because then we don't have to worry so much when an expense comes up in those categories, because we always have maybe $30 to $50 in each one. But now that we understand what sinking funds are and how they can help you save for specific expenses, let's explore how to organize these funds. That's where this bucket budget approach can come in. It's a simple system that groups your categories together, making it easier to manage your sinking funds alongside your regular expenses. Think of buckets as a container that holds all of your sinking funds together. Instead of tracking dozens of individual little categories, you organize everything into these nice buckets, which makes sense for your life. Let's see how this works in practice with a couple articles that I found online. The first one we're going to talk about here is from Birchwood Financial Partners about how bucket budgeting is creating a cash flow management system. There are three buckets that they recommend. A primary needs bucket, which can just be your checking account. This is for bills and needs, like groceries, utility bills, stuff that you have to purchase. Then there's your savings and investments, and this is where your sinking funds go. This is where that vacation sinking fund goes. It's where your recreation one, it's where your gifts go. This is kind of your non-monthly expenses, but also things you're saving for in the future, and of course your investments. And then the third bucket that they recommend is your discretionary spending. This is going to be an essential piece of our case study today, is this discretionary spending budget, and I want to show you how this can really revolutionize how you're spending money. Because discretionary spending, that can be the entire bucket. You don't need categories within that bucket. You can just say, I have $800 a month of discretionary spending, and spend it. That's what can be so fun. You don't have to be so granular when you set up this bucket approach. Monarch Money has a great way to budget like this. They call it flex budgeting. And you can use my link in the show notes to sign up to get 50% off Monarch Money. And of course, using the link always supports the show. So if you're considering it, consider using my links down in the show notes. And I can also help coach you on Monarch Money. If you want to get set up with a coach today, please send me an email or leave a comment down below, and I'd be happy to work with you on getting your flex budget set up. The next article that I found is from Kiplinger. It says, bucket budgeting, an easy way to manage cash flow. Their main thing is four steps for you to set up your buckets. Their first step is to organize your buckets, which is what we just did in the previous article with those three buckets for primary spending, savings, and then for your discretionary spending. Their second step is to set a spending target. That is to set up a discretionary spending amount. That's going to become your last bucket for your discretionary spending. And then their third step is to implement and use them. Set up a bank method or a credit card method where you have specific accounts for specific buckets. That can make it really easy to track. And I'll just reference again the Crew app that we talked about today. That can be a great way to set it up all into pockets. And really, it makes it super simple and easy. Or you can have separate credit cards for each and every bucket of yours. And now the fourth step that this article recommends is to be consistent and stay positive. It's going to build so much momentum as you keep this train rolling and keep everything chugging along, because you're going to, one, get the power of being able to actually save money, and two, you're going to be able to spend money guilt-free with no shame and feel empowered when you're purchasing that thing that you want to purchase because you actually saved for it. Now, this last segment of articles that I found really drove home for me that honestly, some of these feelings and shame and psychological factors that we feel about spending and saving are not our fault. This one that I found about how real millennials feel about shopping, budgeting, and the guilt of materialism says that millennials don't have budgets. So don't feel like you're completely alone in all this. It's okay if you don't have a budget. It may not be the right system for everybody, and that's okay. There are so many different tools and ways you can set this up. Another quote is that it says, young adults are impulse buyers of low-cost indulgences because it makes us feel good and because we can. And this can be a result of a lack of guardrails. Yes, we can spend money, I deserve it, all that sort of stuff, right? But don't complicate it by thinking you have to budget like your grandma with a checkbook and barely any expenses. Think about how much more there is out there trying to take our money. Our grandparents had what? A water bill and groceries? Maybe they didn't have water back then, I'm not sure. But now there's all sorts of bills, there's subscriptions, there's digital purchases, there's everything under the sun coming after the money that's in our digital wallets and our bank accounts. And heck, there's even subscription fees on our banks now because they all want more money from us. So don't beat yourself up when a traditional checkbook or budgeting type system that your parents or grandparents failed to teach you doesn't work, because really it's not built for today's day and age. And that was honestly the biggest thing that I took away from all this research today, is that there are so many new systems and so many different ways that we can manage our money that truly you can find one that works for you. Another great quote from this article is that millennials are extremely susceptible to buyer's remorse. And this is because we don't feel confident with our spending, and sinking funds can fix this by allowing you to feel confident that you have the money there ready to spend. You can build such a tremendous amount of momentum by purchasing something with money that you've saved. So go, set up a bucket, set up a sinking fund or whatever else you want to call it, and set up your system so that it works for you. Make it easier on yourself to spend the money that you want to guilt-free. And now this next article says, stop assuming that millennials have a spending problem. And this one is going to really drive home that fact that we just weren't taught about how to handle our money. And frankly, there's systemic issues at play of why we spend so much money. A quote from the article says, maybe you've heard it from your parents or seen it on social media, but a certain piece of advice seems to pervade the financial world. If you stop spending on unnecessary luxuries, think lattes and avocado toast, you could afford the everyday essentials without struggle. It's in the same vein of our parents' and grandparents' systems failing us. The system that we've all grown up being put in puts us in a much harder position because there's things like student loans. We're being told to take student loans without understanding or being taught the consequences of them. We're being told to follow a system that isn't how it works anymore. So many people get bachelor's degrees, and frankly, that's really not even what they need because there's on-the-job training and they don't even end up using their degree. So there's so many systemic things also at play, like rising housing costs, unaffordable houses, things just getting more and more expensive to the point that spending less than you make doesn't feel like an option. People always assume it's a spending problem. And here's another quote that I found. It says, the thought process typically happens because most Americans try to simplify a situation that often stems from complex problems. Americans are a culture obsessed with budgeting and cutting coupons. We are led to believe that if people just cut away their Netflix subscriptions and stop buying $9 smoothies, they would be able to automatically retire wealthy. It's not all about spending less. You can only cut your spending so much. And this next article called Loud Budgeting, this was a thing that I had heard about before but hadn't done a whole lot of reading on. After reading this article, this is a great thing that I really like. A couple quotes from that article here. It says, loud budgeting is the idea that we need to be more transparent, especially within our social circles when it comes to financial limitations. Whether it's saying no to eating out or after work drinks or not keeping up with the latest shopping trends like Stanley's and all sorts of different things that become real popular on social media, the days of unquestioned brand loyalty and excessive spending on non-essential products could be numbered. And really, I like this so much because it's telling us to talk about money. As the host of Money Talk for 4 years, I learned a lot. And a lot of it stems from me talking to other people and them sharing their great financial ideas. And let me tell you, I'll be at the store and I'll just have random thoughts from old podcast guests on my show Money Talk come into my head about how maybe we shouldn't be spending money in this way, or we need to think about it a little bit differently. But all of that comes when we talk about money more. So please consider talking about it. Have a loud budgeting date with your spouse. Have a loud budgeting game night with your friends where you all talk about your financial woes and help each other out. But talking about money is a great thing. You don't have to share specific numbers because generally, just sharing your systems, guardrails, and your roadmap is going to be more helpful than you can imagine. You don't need to go telling your friends that you have $1 million, but just tell them what you're doing in order to manage your spending and keep it all on track. And trust me, you're going to help someone out, and then they're going to share an idea that's going to help you out. Couple key takeaways that I want to share here real quick as we round out today's research. One, all of this matters because it's going to reduce your financial stress. Two, you're going to be able to build confidence. And three, this is the best one, you get to enjoy guilt-free spending. Four, you get to avoid credit card debt. Five, all of this works within a regular income. Six, it's extremely digital friendly because you're building this all in budgeting apps or within your bank account itself. And seven, it's going to help you build an independent life, which is what we all want, right? We want to be independent from our parents or grandparents, and we want to be able to support ourselves. So really take the sinking fund and bucket approach and get running with it, because it's going to build so much momentum, allow you to spend guilt-free, and allow you to enjoy your money even more than you already do. But that does it for today's research segment. This case study about Michelle Westerly, it's a great one. So get ready and let's get into it. So let's dive right into today's case study about Michelle Westerly. Michelle is 26 years old, working in marketing for an Austin tech company, and she makes about $60,000 a year, has $32,000 in student loans that she's working on paying down, and her living situation is that she rents an apartment with a roommate. She dreams of buying a condo, but knows that right now that's a purchase that can't really happen. But her financial background is that her parents consistently told her to spend less than you make, but it feels unrealistic given rising costs and social pressures to spend money with her friends. And that's one of the main problems, but among other things, it feels like she carefully budgets each month just to have unexpected expenses derail her plans. Her semi-annual car insurance caused her to have to get a credit card and have to pick up some credit card debt. And large expenses like a friend's random destination wedding caused some guilt around spending instead of enjoying the opportunity to see the place that they got to go. And then holiday shopping also consistently blows up her budget. And she's afraid to spend money even though it's available due to the fear of these unexpected expenses. Now, of course, an emergency fund may be the thing that you're screaming into your phone saying, she needs an emergency fund. But there's still constant anxiety around enjoying purchases with her friends, like going out to dinner with her friends. She has to often decline social invitations because she claims to be broke, even though she has the money to spend on these things, because she just doesn't really have a roadmap on how to manage and save for all these different things going on. Previous attempts at traditional budgeting, like I'm sure for so many of you too, it just doesn't work. It didn't cut it for her. It didn't work out. She couldn't figure out a system that really worked for you. She either abandoned these budgeting systems or they felt so restrictive that she just ended up overspending. So the turning point for Michelle was that she yet again had to put another unexpected expense on a credit card, and then she discovered buckets in budgeting. And Michelle and I were able to talk and figure out a system that worked for her. And this really appealed to her because it was simple. 3 buckets instead of dozens and dozens of categories that she had to manage and juggle and budget each one individually. So here's how Michelle implemented this budget system that we've been talking about today into her life and how it worked for her. So for Michelle, she started with her first bucket, which was her bills and needs, which came out to about $2,800 a month that needed to go into this bucket. It was her rent, her student loan payment, car payment, utilities, phone, groceries, gas, minimum credit card payments, even though she's working on paying those off fully, renter's insurance, her subscriptions, health insurance, and other miscellaneous required needs, like things that show up around the apartment that you didn't realize you needed, but you don't necessarily have the money for, like shampoos and those personal good type items. But this bills and needs budget is an essential one to get set up early so that you have a realistic idea of how much your life actually costs. Because if you can set up this one, then that's really covering your bare bones budget. And then the second budget that Michelle set up was her savings and sinking funds. This one turned out to be $1,200 a month. She wanted to put $400 a month into an emergency fund, which is a great idea to start building. She wanted to set up that car insurance sinking fund for that semi-annual premium of $720, so she put it at $120 a month. And you can consider this like your monthly payment, but it's being made to yourself. She also set up a car maintenance sinking fund of $100 a month. She set up a medical expense sinking fund of $80 for things like deductibles, and that even could go into an HSA if you had access to one. She set up a couple for gifts and celebrations, vacation, professional development for her career, and then a future home down payment fund. Now, these are all, of course, aligned with Michelle's goals. Maybe that professional development or home down payment isn't a fund you want to set up. Well, guess what? You don't have to. That's what's so exciting. You could set up one that is maybe a future security deposit for a nicer, bigger place you want to rent in the future. There's all sorts of ways that you can set up these savings sinking buckets. But then the third bucket for Michelle, that's her discretionary spending. And this was Michelle's guilt-free spending for things like dining, entertainment, shopping, coffee, or anything else that she wanted to spend money on. And that's what's so awesome. She can spend it without being guilty or feeling shameful about it because she knows that she's given herself this bucket of money to spend and she can spend it however she wants. And the great thing that really clicked for her is once this bucket was empty, she knew she could just wait till next month because the rest of her bills and expenses were all taken care of because of the other buckets and sinking funds that she set up, that she knew she wasn't going to have to worry about some unexpected expense coming up because she had sinking funds set up to make those not unexpected anymore. And now step 2 for Michelle, well, that's going to be setting up the infrastructure for all this. Michelle opened a high yield savings account and used the bank sub-account features to create separate pockets or buckets. I know Ally Bank has their buckets, the Crew app that I showed you earlier, they have pockets, so you can set up something for each of these sinking funds. And then set up automatic transfers on payday to go into each one of these buckets or pockets or whatever you want to call them. She sent that $2,800 and left it in her primary checking account for her bills and her needs to come out of. She sent $1,200 to her savings and divided it among those sinking fund pockets within her app or within her bank account. And now that remaining amount for her discretionary spending, that got put into a separate checking account where she could spend it at will, where she had access to that debit card. So that made it super easy for her to see exactly how much fun money or spending money she had for every single month because it was set up separately. It wasn't tempting by any means to go spend that bills or needs account because she knew it was there for a purpose because she set up the system as a guardrail to keep her on a roadmap towards the real financial transformation that she wanted. And finally, she was able to feel some of that. There was no more credit card debt and there was no more spiral around how is she going to pay for things. When the insurance bill came due, she simply transferred the $720 from her sinking fund and paid it in full. Imagine no panic. Imagine no credit card charges for an expense that you knew was coming. For Michelle, she was able to enjoy now guilt-free spending. When a college friend asked her to go to a concert, she checked her discretionary budget. She saw there was $400 left in it and bought the $80 ticket without hesitation, guilt, shame, or any sort of worry. And she's also now prepared for life events. Her coworker has a baby shower. Guess what? She has a gift sinking fund. How exciting is that? No stress whatsoever. And she's also able to build wealth simultaneously. While enjoying her life, Michelle's also been steadily building that emergency fund and saving for a home down payment. And you could even make one of those categories retirement and put it into an IRA. She also paid off $2,000 in credit card debt because she didn't accumulate any new charges on the credit card. It just seemed to disappear with some regular savings going towards that credit card because if there's one way to ensure you're never going to get out of credit card debt, it's by using the credit card and continuing to accumulate debt on that card. Because if you're making purchases on the card and only making minimum payments, you're never going to get out of debt on that credit card until it runs out and you have to go get a new one. Of course, there's some psychological transformations as well that happen to Michelle, and that can happen for each and every one of you as you implement these sinking funds in buckets. She experienced reduced anxiety. She's no longer worried about surprise expenses because she knows she has money set aside for them when they happen. It has empowered her for the first time to feel in control of her spending instead of the other way around. And it's given her a better social life. She stopped saying no to friends because she actually knows that she can afford whatever they want to do. And now she has financial confidence because her parents just randomly asked her one day, hey, are you being good with your money? Are you being smart with your money? She was able to confidently explain her system and show how it's working for her. So a couple key lessons. Buckets and sinking funds are useful to make those irregular expenses predictable. You can plan for large purchases like vacations, weddings, or home purchases. You can make those variable timed expenses like car repairs or medical expenses seem consistent and regular and then not worry about them so much. And seasonal expenses, those are a breeze. Holiday shopping, back to school, none of that really worries you anymore because you're saving for it throughout the entire year. And goal-based spending. Do you want to save for a down payment because you value owning a home one day? Do you want to have an emergency fund because you value that safety that it brings? Or professional development, but you know those expenses only come once every 6 to 8 months. You can save for all those sort of things through a sinking fund. Now, Michelle also wanted to share some reasons not to use the sinking fund. She found it was way too complicated to use them for monthly recurring bills because that happens every single month. Unless you get paid weekly and you're worried you're not going to have money for the monthly charge, then maybe there would be a reason for that, but don't put a Netflix subscription into a sinking fund. And also, sinking funds aren't for true emergencies. That's what an emergency fund is for. And then if you have an extremely irregular one-off expense, like if you need to fly home once every few years because of a big emergency, again, that's a great place for an emergency fund to come into place. And then Michelle also learned the hard way initially because she tried to set up 12 different sinking funds and it was extremely overwhelming. So while that works for my wife and I to have, 30 different sinking funds, it won't work for you, especially not out the gate. Keep it simple with maybe like 6 to 10 and see what works for you before you go hog wild like my wife and I and have a lot of sinking funds. So now how does Michelle use her buckets? Well, she shared that her bills and needs bucket, this one's completely automated. The bills auto pay from her checking and groceries. She uses that specific debit card for pickup from the store, so she does it completely online. And she really doesn't think about this category too much. Her savings bucket also automatically funded every single payday. When an expense comes up that she has to use it, she transfers the money to her checking and then pays it. Simple and easy. Her discretionary bucket. This is where the magic has happened for Michelle. She's able to spend entirely from this separate account guilt-free. She uses that separate debit card for all of her discretionary purchases. And when the balance gets low, she naturally becomes more selective and takes it a little bit easy. But when there's plenty in the account, she enjoys without worry. And now the biggest insight for Michelle is that 3 months into her bucket system, she had the revelation that she was no longer broke. She just may be broke from certain categories, and that's okay. She realized that having $1,200 in her checking but being broke for discretionary spending was okay because the money that was allocated for her vacation fund was already there, and she didn't have to worry about it. This was a form of wealth building for her, not deprivation, to be broke in her discretionary category. The bucket system for Michelle gave her something her parents' spend less than you make advice never could: permission to spend her money and enjoy it while simultaneously building financial security. She wasn't living paycheck to paycheck anymore, and even though her income hasn't changed, she simply organized her cash flow in a way that worked with her life, and it's completely revolutionized everything. And she recently had a trip where she was invited to join her friends on a girls' trip to Denver. The total cost would be about $1,800, and old Michelle, before buckets and sinking funds, would have panicked, declined the invitation, and felt left out for months as her friends planned this trip without her. But now she checked her sinking funds. There was $1,200 in the vacation fund. Gifts had about $300 in it, so she considered this a gift to herself, which, of course, could be a little bit of a stretch, but that's okay. Spend your money. And then she pulled $300 from that month's discretionary spending to be able to afford all of this. She had the money. It was already set aside, so she said yes to her friends immediately and enjoyed the entire trip, fully paid for, and came home without financial stress and without credit card debt. The large expenses would have once caused her to miss out on this trip and miss out on the fun time with her friends, but now it was just a planned expense that she was happy to spend money on. And that's the power of buckets and sinking funds. They transform these large expenses into simple planned events that you get to enjoy. And that does it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed that case study. So please subscribe to the podcast and let's keep this excitement for the launch of Financial Planning for Young Adults going and start to build this audience and community. By subscribing, you're going to get weekly episodes packed with actionable financial strategies designed specifically for young adults navigating things like student loans, career growth, and building wealth in your 20s and 30s. You'll learn proven systems to manage your money from my CFP background and education without the guilt, stress, or outdated advice that doesn't work for our generation. Plus, next week, we're going to talk all about the HSA and how you could get free healthcare. And if you're interested in either Crew or Monarch or working with me or any of those articles we mentioned today, the links are all in the show notes. And if you aren't sure where to go, send me an email and I'll get you going in the right direction. So that's it for today's episode. We covered how sinking funds can completely transform the way you spend money, turning guilt and stress into confidence and financial freedom. We started with my personal story about how my wife and I saved for our dream trip to Hawaii, broke down exactly what sinking funds are and how to set them up, and we walked through Michelle's case study to see how buckets and sinking funds work together in real life. The key takeaway for all of us? When you give your money a purpose and a plan, large expenses stop becoming financial emergencies and become exciting, guilt-free experiences. Whether it's a vacation, a car repair, or holiday gifts, sinking funds let you spend joyfully on what matters most to you. And remember, you're not depriving yourself. You're giving yourself permission to enjoy your money while building financial security. And that's the power of intentional planning. So go out and enjoy your money. So that does it for this episode and the launch of Financial Planning for Young Adults. I really hope you enjoyed and please subscribe. Thank you for listening to this episode of Financial Planning for Young Adults. Have a great week. And hey, quick heads up. This podcast, it's meant to be educational and it's for entertainment purposes. It's not personalized financial advice for your specific situation. So before you go out and make any big money moves, make sure you chat with a qualified financial professional who knows your full financial picture.